recording's on.
That started and stopped it, so we're going off that bottom one, that's just the time, I think. And then this button.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so this is just a start stop.
Okay, we ready? Is it 6:30?
Yep.
Okay, we're gonna start the meeting now. It is 6:34 PM, May 2nd. Just a brief opening statement. Welcome to everyone. The members of the Rent Review Advisory Committee are here to serve as neutral mediators for the case listed on the agenda tonight. We're here to facilitate a dialogue between the tenant and the landlord, and this is a place of respect, so we encourage that and understanding. The Rent Review Advisory Committee, we do not settle legal disputes or offer legal advice. Rather, we're just community members, Alameda community members. We're here to facilitate a negotiation between parties in conflict, and we hope that both parties will join us in that spirit to reach an agreement. So, call to order and roll call.
Yes. I really don't have the sheets with me, but Robert?
Hi.
Brendan?
Here.
Tina?
Here.
And Chris?
Present.
Thank you.
Okay. Everyone's present. So on the agenda, first item is we need to elect a new chair. Thoughts?
Claudia, do you want to make a comment here?
So I wanted to suggest that you could wait until we recruit a homeowner, if you want. But staff does need a chair and a vice chair to facilitate the meeting. So for example, if Brendan is the chair and he happens not to be here that day, I do need a vice chair that would then be able to facilitate.
I volunteer to be vice chair.
Okay.
I think that
motion and then.
Yeah. Okay. Before we proceed, I brought up a concern earlier in the week with Jennifer about nominating a chair before we have a fifth member.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want anyone to think before we get the homeowner on that even the perception of either the tenants being in control or the landlords being in control, even though we effectively, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be more comfortable for an interim chair, and then when a fifth member is appointed, maybe we could have another vote, and I'm sure I don't see any reason why that would change, but can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we can postpone the vote until we have an active, fully staffed, or fully, no vacancies,
mm-hmm.
But we would just need a motion and a vote that we have a interim chair, interim vice chair.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think that's a great idea, and we should do that. And my thought was, because you're the only one here who has had experience as chair.
That's not, well, I guess.
That,
well, he's been here just as long as I have.
Well, yes, but yeah, you've done a good job so far.
Okay.
So I have a motion. Well, actually, I guess I can't make a motion yet, but my thought was to support this idea of having interim chair and interim vice chair. And I think that, Brendan, you'd make a good interim chair until we get a full committee. And I volunteered to be vice chair, but then we have to have a motion, I guess, for that to happen.
Right, I can't make it because I'm chair, so I
would you like that?
Sure, I can do that.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't have any motion.
Yeah. Okay, so I motion to nominate Brendan as the interim chair and Robert as the interim vice chair.
And I second that.
Okay, thanks. And you guys would
like
to
vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Aye.
It's unanimous. And Steph, do we have an idea about maybe when another person will be nominated to?
We don't have any right now a timeline for that. I was going to make an announcement at the very end for some oral communication.
Okay.
Regarding what the steps are for that. Right now, I don't have any.
Okay.
Yeah, to let you know that.
Okay. Moving on, we need approval of the minutes from the last meeting, April 4th, regular meeting. Look through them, I suppose. So, I need a motion.
So move.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, April 4th, regular meeting minutes approved. Do we have any unfinished business?
No unfinished business.
No unfinished business. Okay, and new business, before we move on to the cases, I'd like Angie from Echo Housing, I'd like to invite her up to speak briefly, if I could, please. Can everyone hear me? Am I speaking loud enough?
A little louder.
A little louder? Okay.
Yes, so my name is Angie Watson-Hajina. I'm from Echo Housing. Echo Housing is a nonprofit housing counseling agency. We have two programs that we provide services to down in the community. One is our tenant network department. And so under that program, we do things like, you know, a landlord wants to know how to legally give someone a notice, or a tenant may want to know, you know, about repairs that are being taken care of, and what they do about that. So we provide information in an impartial, fair way to both tenants and landlords. They know what their rights and responsibilities are, so both parties can call us and get help regarding information about what the laws are, or mediation help too, provide mediation services as well. We also have a fair housing program with I Profender, and a fair housing coordinator at Echo Housing. With that program, we investigate discrimination complaints. So those are people who have children, are disabled, face challenges in their housing, they need useful accommodations because of the disability. We can help them learn what their rights are about media cases. And likewise for owners who have questions about fair housing, what's legal, what's illegal, what can you do, what can't you do legally. You can also call an agency for help. Just want you to know, and also the rent review board know too, because your board only deals with rent increases, and our agency can deal with more of the, you know, repairs and maintenance issues and unlawful entry and other things that come up in housing for tenants and landlords. So that's what I wanted to share about Echo. And there's some flyers on my table there. And I also have some business cards here as well.
Okay. So for new business, so I want to state before we move into the cases that the members of the RAC, we received all the documentation related to the cases, so we've had time to look over them, and we've read through them, and the staff has communicated them to us. We're pretty well informed. Just say that so that no one feels the need to repeat themselves, and also in the interest of time. We recommend 40 minutes per case. So we're gonna try our best to keep that time limit. If you know we end a little bit early, we need a couple minutes, we can you know, work with that, but please try to keep that 40 minutes per case in your minds, and we'll have a clock here specifically for that.
I'll be the timekeeper.
Yeah.
Today.
Okay.
It's my first attempt. So.
Yeah. So our first case is. Do I need to announce which cases have been dismissed or no? That will.
Yeah, we'll move through them as
okay.
we get.
Okay. All right. Case 363, 781 Central Avenue, Unit A.
Yep. So this is an active case. I will give a brief staff summary on the case, and the parties involved can come up and join the table in the front here. One thing we really want to make clear as staff is we're acknowledging that Alameda is in an interesting time with the law has changed regarding renting in Alameda. So we just want to be really clear for everybody in the room. For each case as we move through, that the law that affects each case actually is different. So bear that in mind when we're reviewing each case. So I want to clarify first that for this case, the law that binds this case is the Ordinance 3143. This is the moratorium that was in existence. It began on November 5th. It was then amended later in December 1st. And what it says is that there can be no rent increase above 8% or more for a 12-month period. And any rent increase that is legal then can request to be reviewed by the Rent Review Advisory Committee. Someone with the ability to make a decision about the rent increase needs to be in attendance at the meeting. And again, the goal is to reach an agreement. If there's not an agreement and the REC gives a recommendation, that recommendation, it's not a legal obligation for each party to follow the recommendation, but the tenant still has a right to petition if there's disagreement after the recommendation, to petition the case to be heard by the city council, which again would end in a non-legally binding decision, but participation would be required. So that is specifically the law for this case, and I just want to move through a few details of the case. The rent increase amount is $90, which is about a 6.77 rent increase. I think it's good to keep in mind too, there's what utilities are included in the rent for this case. We have it documented that it's gas and water. And then just briefly, the past rent increase last year for 2015, it was also a $90 rent increase, which is about a 7.3% rent increase. And the year before was $65 of a rent increase, which is about 5.5% of the rent increase. And when the tenant submitted the request for review, a big issue that was coming up was that these rent increases really put a hardship on the tenant, and that there's this feeling of, that the tenant is being priced out of the area. This case was originally on the agenda for the April meeting, and the tenant chose to postpone it 1 month, which was the option at the time. So it's now being heard on May 2nd.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with the tenant, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. So as I mentioned, we've all had a chance to look over the information. I guess I want to ask if there's anything here in the documents that we might have missed, anything that's written down that you think would be important that we understand before we get started.
And I'm brand new to this, but I'm going to be keeping time in order to keep us on time. So we're going to allocate 5 minutes for each of you. So
thank you so much.
Okay, sure.
Thanks.
I guess part of postponing the previous meeting was I'm involved with the local library with an event, so sorry about postponing that.
That's okay.
I feel like it's kind of like an economic segregation of, being priced out of Alameda. That's like my main, I guess, point, without wasting too much time.
Okay.
You still have 4.5 minutes if you would like to add anything else.
You don't have to, but
you don't have to.
I think, I work in a public school, and I like living in Alameda. So that's why I'm here too, instead of just moving or, so.
How about just in a nutshell, could you just tell us what you want us to know about this case?
I mean, I just feel like it's unjustified with the $90 increases.
Okay.
It's just a lot, from last year and this year.
Got it.
Jeffrey, when you first moved in, according to the report that I looked at, there were two people in there, one now. What was the situation? This is back in 2012, I think, is that right?
Yeah.
When you first moved in?
Yeah, I moved in with a girlfriend, and she moved out in, was it 20, about a year and a half ago.
I see.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear from them. Thank you so much.
My name is Larry Johnson, and I'm representing Park Central Apartments. It's an 80-unit building, not 8 units.
Beg your pardon? Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
It's an 80-unit building, 80 units. We've all driven past it. It's the one right across from the park at 8th and Central. And if you've been here now and long enough, you know what it used to look like 30 years ago. Didn't have a lawn, didn't have any shrubs. Had couches in the front yard, burnt out grass, a leaky roof. We've done a lot of work over the course of those 30 years. The first 15 years was negative cash flow, big time. I think, as Jeffrey will probably contend as well, it's a nice place to live. We maintained it as well as we possibly could, and I think our maintenance is second to no one. The fact that I haven't been in front of a rack for, I don't know, 20, 25 years, I think, is testimony to how we manage there. We're sensitive to the things that Jeffrey mentioned. He's never been late with his rent. They qualified based on his roommate's income. I'm not happy that he finds himself in the situation he's in now. One of our problems as a property manager now is the housing stock here is very old, and this building was built in 1953. And it's becoming more and more expensive as time goes on to maintain the buildings. So Alameda now has adopted the International Building Code for roofs, double the cost of our putting roofs on. The property taxes have gone up about 3.6% over 10 years. Last year, we went back and looked at 10 years of income and expenses. So 3.6% in property taxes, you say, how can that be? Well, it's parcel taxes. City of Alameda is now doing telephone poll on two other taxes that they're going to attempt to install, so we can expect the taxes will continue to go up. And none of this is Jeffrey's fault, this is it. Insurance, our insurance went up 57% last year, not 5.7%, but 57%. I think part of that is a function of the age of the property. Insurance companies are leaving California, and one way of leaving is pricing us out of the market, so we're scrambling to find another insurance company. We're kind of in the middle of the market. We're an apartment complex, not a fourplex, but we're not one of the big buildings here. There's some risk in doing this because it's hard to get insurance. You cannot get real quick insurance, so after Loma Prieta, we had to do all our own repairs ourselves, even sidewalks, because the city doesn't do a sidewalk anymore, so we had to repair all the sidewalks. So the cost keeps going up. We're sensitive to our tenants' predicament as well. I think Jeffrey has an especially difficult situation in that his roommate moved out. So we try and moderate our rent increases and look at how our expenses are actually rising over time and how much they're going up. So if we look at this increase from inception, all the way back, one thing that you don't see is how long there was between the first rent increase and the second rent increase. If you look at the whole thing out through the end of this increase, which will be 55 months total tenancy, we're at about $241 above where the original rent was. That's about 3.8% a month. This is the back of the envelope numbers, but they're basically close enough for a discussion here. So that's about $4.38 a month of an increase. I think it's pretty modest, about 4.5% a year. We're not even pushing against 5%. And our sad story is we're just getting killed by expenses on the expense side. Smoke alarms. We just had to put in $12,000 worth of smoke alarms. So the old alarms, people take the batteries out. The new ones are designed so you can't take the batteries out. People still take them down and stack them in the closet, but we pay a contractor to go in that's licensed here now. We have to put the smoke alarms up. We have to certify that they're up. We have to sign off for each individual one. Those kinds of things just keep coming up constantly. And nothing that you can really plan for, they just sort of happen.
Just to let you know, just 30 more seconds.
That's it.
Thank you.
think 30 more seconds if you want that. Okay.
Thanks so much. So if I heard correctly, it's not an issue necessarily with Jeffrey. You said that he's been a good tenant. Payments are always on time.
Yes.
It's just really has to do with your expenses. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, keeping a building standing, you know, our idea is sustainable housing, sustainable housing, sustainable housing. And I think that's what the majority of our tenants want for.
Mm-hmm. And you said you made a lot of improvements. How long have you been managing the property?
I hope you wouldn't ask that. Over 30 years.
Okay.
I have more hair than my son.
You said, George, that
Eric.
Are you Eric?
Eric.
Oh, I got George there. You said, thank you for the correction. You said that that Jeffrey was qualified for the rental based on the income of both him and his roommate. So, what was your qualification? What do you think is reasonable? I guess is what it comes down to.
I don't know what it was specifically at that time, but it's enough to keep people out of trouble so they don't over-rent, they don't get in the ballpark and they can handle it. So based on their income and their history, it'll include credit, the landlord reference, income, and those are called rental criteria, and every apartment housing association will tell you how to set those up. And we pretty much follow the guideline. We want to be able to pull those out so when Pepper comes knocking on our door, we can say, here it is. This is what we follow.
Okay. Does anyone have any other additional questions for either Eric or Jeffrey?
I have a question. So you sound like a really good landlord. You sound like you're really considerate and you're aware of all the laws. You've been doing this for a really long time. You certainly keep great records. And I was just wondering, on your part, if you think that there's any room for you to possibly compromise on the rent increase.
Well, I would ask you, you know, where do we go on something like this? Because we have many tenants in the building that whose life situations are going to change. They're going to lose a job. You know, people that change for the better don't come in and say, gee, please increase my income. We're about the kind of margins you can see we're losing ground in the city. The city's going to increase the taxes faster than we can increase our rents. So property taxes are kind of a bogey, a kind of a marker for other sorts of increases, and a very conservative one. More realistically, expenses are probably going up over 5%. This isn't a problem just of this building. It's a problem of all buildings of our size in Alameda. The three largest apartment complexes in Alameda have gone bankrupt 4 times. That works because one of them went bankrupt twice. So you probably remember that. It's just difficult to extrapolate what the topography is going to be, and their rents got too low. And that's when we purchased the property, we bought it from people who were in trouble, that weren't able to cover their expenses, weren't able to maintain the property, weren't able to make the loan payments, property taxes. We don't want to fall into that same problem.
I understand.
Jeffrey, I read what you wrote. And I appreciate your work in the community. As somebody who lives here in Alameda, I do appreciate it. I think we probably all do. Gosh, it sounds, you know, after you pay rent, like a lot of people, it doesn't leave you with much. You know, you gotta buy your food, you gotta everyday expenses. And you said, you know, 90 is just too much of a burden. Do you think there's any room for something in between?
I'm open to that, yeah.
So you'd be open to maybe an increase, but less than 90? Okay.
Along that line, if you had to put out a number, what would you be thinking?
45.
Okay. What's the difference?
Okay, so 50, meaning halfway.
Eric, we're
where do you think the rent, the rent which you proposed was $1,420?
Correct.
Where does that stand with respect to other, since you have, you said, like, 80 units, I guess?
It's about $400 below what new units are in for. And I expect that to change. I've been doing this for a long time, and rents go like a sine wave. And so here we are after 10 years, and it's gone up just a small amount. So if they go up, and we're at the top of the arc now, and they're going to go back down. I've handed out rent decrease letters as well as rent increase letters. I've had to back off of rents where people were at a rent that suddenly was below market. So there's no question that while some of these people, a lot of these people, are $400 below market. That's going to change because this economic cycle is at the end of its rope. It's going to change over the next, pessimistic 18 months, 24 months, and rents are going to fall. You've all been in Alameda for a while and probably remember driving down Shoreline and seeing it just festooned with floor rent balloons, signs, move-in bonuses, all the rest of that. That happens periodically every 7 to 9 years. I don't think we're far away from that.
So, I guess in that vein, then, if you think that we're coming up to a time when maybe rents would go down, do you? And that Jeffrey said he'd be willing to have a $45 increase. Does that seem reasonable? Does it seem doable? Is it impossible?
I think it's still in dire straits. I would moderate it, but I looked at his income after paying rent, and it looks tough. So we would go to 5%. We'd go to an increase of 5%. But I don't know if that's sustainable. It's not sustainable for us.
What's a 5%?
Yeah, what is a 5%?
Yeah.
Mathematician.
I majored in economics, but it's all theory, so.
$66.50.
This doesn't sound like much to you, but one of the problems that we have in my business is we don't get subsidized loans. So unlike a fourplex or a big complex that can go to an insurance company to borrow money, we have to go to the savings and loan. So the savings and loan gives you three choices. You can get 5, 7, or 10. Every 5 years, every 7 years, or every 10 years, we don't touch the 10 because it has horrendous prepaid buildings on. So every 7 years, we have to go back and show them our rent roll, and hopefully they refurbish our loan. So when I look at this, I also see it cascading out into the loan amount. What can be able to get to sustain the property. Because basically, when you have to do $450,000 in sites and repairs, say, you can't do that yourself. You have to go to the lender, you have to borrow it. And the rent roll is what they base their decision on. It's not how the property looks, it looks nice, et cetera, location, those really don't matter. What matters is the income the property is producing. So we're a captive of that.
Okay. So, I hear your concern about Jeffrey being in a tough place, and I think it's good that you recognize that. Jeffrey, he said $66.50. What do you think about that?
I mean, honestly, it just feels like not that much. I mean, it's kind of like being nickel and dimed, I guess. I don't know. I feel like 45 is reasonable.
So with 5, I can go back to the lender and tell them we haven't done rent increases below 5%. Once I get below that, then that starts staying out. Then I have to explain.
So your target's really 5%, and
it's staying up with expenses.
Correct.
And 5% is an arbitrary number because I think expenses are going up much faster than that.
I mean, you run a business and you have to justify everything you do to a lender so you can continue to get money and operate, and that sounds like, to maintain your properties, to make them top-notch, and that sounds extremely important to you. You mentioned earlier that your maintenance is second to none. And then, unfortunately, we have certain tenants that might be in a tougher position. And it does sound like you two are trying to come towards some sort of middle ground, and you do have that benchmark of 5%, and you don't want to feel like you're nickel and dimed. Would it be possible to...
Chris, sorry for interrupting, but understand over the course of this, we're at about 4.5% now. As we said here, with that increase through the end of that next 12 months, we're at 4.5.
Correct.
So if I lower it, we're going to be at 3.9.
What I was going to throw out there was potentially a stepped increase to get up to your 5% or potentially a little over 5% to give Jeffrey some time to adjust to the increased cost, but go up towards that higher number. So maybe 3 months for a partial increase followed by an additional increase later on this year.
We've never done more than one increase a year since I've been in this property. And I really don't feel comfortable doing that. You know, I'm a creature of habit. So, and then I don't know how the city's going to feel about it because of the new rent ordinance.
I can jump in there.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had this come up before, and specifically relating to you're under the law of that was in existence before the city passed a new law, and now we're in this new law. So I can tell you directly, this is the situation that I'm answering, is that the city understands it as one rent increase that's deferred payment, so that it would be acceptable to move forward choosing to, that there is one rent increase and that's paid into two payments at different times. That's coming from the city attorney.
Okay, so we, just to kind of bring it back, so we started at an asking amount of 1420, which was just under 7%, correct? And
4.5% over the course of his full lease term.
Okay, from the last lease to the new lease agreement,
yeah, 6.77.
It's 6.77%.
Yeah, $90.
And...
And there's not going to be another increase for 12 months. So when we look at it, when we put together a spreadsheet and we do our lending reports, we draw that right out for that time period.
Okay. And then Eric said 5%. Jeffrey, still thinks that's a little too high. I mean, I don't know if there's any more room for flexibility on either of your parts. I would like to point out that, you know, this is under the 8% cap that was for the old one, so we can vote to make a recommendation, but our recommendation is not binding.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something for everyone, including ourselves, to keep in mind. This is not the newest one ordinance, so...
I have a couple of questions here first before we move forward. One of the things I'm a little confused about is you keep saying it's 4.5%. What number, where do you get that number?
I think if you go from the beginning, the fact that he didn't get a rate increase for 20 months, and you look at all the months for the move-in date to the next increase after this last increase, 12 months out, it's going to be less than 5%, I think.
I don't think so, not according to my spreadsheet. Maybe my computer does math different than yours.
Well, this is my computer right before the meeting.
Yeah.
I've been doing 10-hour days for 2 weeks, maybe more.
Okay. Right.
But because the rent increases were 5.5%, then 7.3%, now about 6.8%. So, you know, my calculation says it's roughly about 6.5% over the average of as long as Jeffrey's been in the place.
I think you're not including time. So it was $241 over 55 months. That gives you $4.38.
I think it depends on how you do that.
You know, there's different ways you can look at this. I'm looking at it as a lender would look at it. It's right. Probably not normal.
Well, the other issue I think really is, on Jeffrey's side, it sounds, and you raise this concern yourself, Eric, that you know it's tough for Jeffrey. And Jeffrey, we know it's tough for you too, because you were pretty good about explaining your financial situation with right. respect to how much money you have left over every month. And it's tough on us, I think, because what I see is, from what you're saying, Eric, you're about 15%, 20% under market for his unit.
That's not a real consideration. I look at expenses.
Right. Well, but you know, there's a real. But you were pretty good about bringing up the fact that we go through cycles, right? So, just because we are where we are right now doesn't mean we're going to be there in 18 months or 24 months.
Correct.
So I you know, to summarize, it looked to me like Jeffrey's in a tough situation. Good guy, but hard for him to meet the rent. Good guy for you too, because you said that he's a good tenant. He pays his rent on time, and you've nothing against Jeffrey particularly. It's just really strictly a financial situation.
I think the issue for us was that his roommate living, and that's what kind of took the boat to the side and made the rent unaffordable.
Can
the rent's very modest under normal circumstances, but when you lose a partner, then that.
Can I ask Jeffrey a quick question? Is it possible for you to find another roommate?
I mean, it's a one bedroom. It was my girlfriend that mm-hmm. I was staying with. I mean, it would be like somebody sleeping on the couch in the living room.
I see.
Yeah.
So that's what it looks like.
I understand.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm dating, but
no pressure, man. No pressure.
I haven't recruited anybody yet to join.
Good try, there, Jeffrey.
Yeah, good try. Well, again, I'd just like to stress that, you know, I know 5% does not sound impressive to an owner, and 5% sounds really high to a tenant. Gosh, I'd like for there an agreement to be reached, even if it's not at 5%. It seems like that's where we stand. Again, even if we make a recommendation, it's not binding. So it's kind
of... Well, I'd like to come out of this with something that's acceptable to Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. When you call me an owner, yeah, it's true, I have a small interest in this property, but not the majority of interest. And the name that you see up there first, Maywood Zardak, she's 89, and I will explain this to her afterwards. She lives right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Well, Brendan, maybe we should discuss this among ourselves. We're kind of at that point, I think, where we're,
unless we're not.
No. Is there any possibility that the $66 that that Mr. Johnson has offered here would be acceptable to you? Is there some way that you can make that work, Jeffrey or Mr. Giordano? I don't know. Excuse me.
I mean, I don't see the market going down. I don't understand the, like in 12 months, I mean, it's going to be another $90, so I don't get that aspect of the equation.
We would agree to do 5% again next year. It won't be $90. And trust me, the market's going to go down.
I mean, Google's building a campus in Alameda, so I think that's an indication of, as far as the tech, physical tech presence in Alameda, and we know that does affect the rental market.
There's also about $4 trillion worth of housing being built in the greater Bay Area now. That stuff's going to come online, and people say, oh, it's luxury housing. Well, everybody moves up, pays $50 more a month, and they get a granite countertop, and we start running 17% vacancy than we did before. So it does affect us, does drive our numbers down.
And, you know, we can only deal with what we got in front of us. You know, I totally agree, believe me, I do. But, I mean, we can only work with the cases
why,
as they come to us.
Why don't we do the 5% and delay the increase by 3 months? Would that be acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds like we have an agreement. Can we just repeat that for the record?
Yep, if you guys would want to make a motion to uphold the agreement that just happened, and that would be the best way to keep it on record.
Okay. So if I understand you correctly, what you're saying, Eric, is really two things. 5% increase, but you'll delay it for 3 months, and also the next year rent increase will be 5%, or will be no greater than 5%.
Will be no greater than 5%. Hopefully the bottom doesn't fall out of the economy. I've never been too pessimistic. I have partners who are a lot more optimistic than I, but I'm more right.
Mm. Okay, so we've got a motion
to accept what Eric just said.
Yeah, are we recognizing or accepting? I'm sorry. Are we recognizing the agreement? Okay, so a motion to recognize.
Oh, a motion to recognize the agreement.
Okay.
Well, between you two,
yeah.
As I just stated. Right?
Okay.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Is that clear? Is that clear to everyone? Do we need a repeat? Do we need staff to summarize?
5% increase, delay for 3 months.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So thank you for your time, and staff will follow up with a letter. Claudia, did you want to make it?
Can you state the amount, the dollar?
Oh, the dollar amount. The dollar amount of 5% is $66.50. Staff will send out a letter to both the tenant and the landlord confirming what we've just said orally here, and then we'll ask for a written consent back from both parties to agree. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate you doing this. And I've been to one of these before, and it wasn't a long time ago, and it wasn't quite so rational. But then I didn't have something across the table that was quite so straightforward. So thank you.
Thank you both for coming here.
Yeah.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on. We have case 737.
So this case is at the address 1850 Coway, Unit 12. Because it's also under the old ordinance that was in effect in the past, the way that this case can be canceled is if the tenant contacts us requesting a cancellation because they've come to some agreement outside of the RAC. And so we did receive an email that the tenant would like the case canceled. We didn't receive any information about what the settlement was, the agreement between, but it's not a requirement for them to disclose that information.
Okay, thank you. And the next cases we're going to move to are governed by Ordinance 3148, the newest one. Binding third-party decisions are required if an agreement isn't met, excuse me. So case 364.
Yes, so I want to pause here a little bit because the new law is so new.
Okay.
And I just want to take a little bit of time to explain how all the cases under this new ordinance will be addressed under the RAC, because it's actually a little bit of a different process. The actual speaking is the same, but the staff side's a little different. So right now, the law, as of March 31st, has changed. If the unit is non-exempt, and I'm only going to explain non-exempt units because all the cases on the agenda tonight are non-exempt. If the unit is non-exempt, then if the landlord wishes to raise the rent above 5%, they are requesting a rent above 5%. They aren't guaranteed it. Any rent below 5% could come to the RAC, but it would have to come from the tenant requesting review, and it would be similar where there is not a binding decision ever by a third party. However, under the new law, if the landlord requests a rent above 5%, the landlord has to initiate the process. So the landlord's requesting a review of rent increase. So they're requesting the RAC to review the case. And the case can again be dismissed if there's an agreement that both the tenant and the landlord have to sign. So it's a little more formal than what we've had before. The agreement again is somewhat private. They only have to disclose the range of the amount of the rent increase that they decided upon. And they can cancel the case if we receive the paperwork that there's an agreement before tonight. But if we don't receive the agreement and both parties are at at a dispute, then they need to be at the RAC meeting, and a person with ownership interest needs to be present at this meeting. And the way that the meeting changes is that if there's not an agreement during the meeting, then the amount of the rent increase doesn't become effective on the date stated in the notice. And the decision that the parties of the RAC make, their recommendation, will become binding on both parties. However, both parties have the option to petition the recommendation. They would petition to a rent dispute hearing officer, which would delay the rent increase when it becomes effective. The rent still needs to pay, but the amount of the rent increase is delayed until 60 days after the decision by a rent dispute hearing officer. So if people, I think most importantly, I want to know if you have questions, and I think when the parties come up for the cases, we can clarify if moving forward there are questions about what options in the future would look like. But at this point, do either of you, anyone on the committee have questions?
I don't have yet.
Okay, great. Okay. So I want to then jump into what you first announced is case 364, which is 2465 Shoreline Drive, unit 120. We received the paperwork that this case has come to an agreement, and all we know from the paperwork is that the agreed upon rent increase is at or below 5%.
Okay. Moving on to case 366 then.
So 366 is at 2465 Shoreline Drive, unit 416. We also received paperwork that this case has come to an agreement, and it showed that the rent increase was agreed upon between 5.1 and 10% of a rent increase.
Okay. Case 370.
This is for address 1721 St. Charles Street. This case was postponed, so it will be on the agenda for June.
Okay. Was it the tenant that postponed?
It was related to the fact that it's a new ordinance and the requirements for paperwork required for the postponement.
Got it.
So.
Okay, thank you. Okay, case 372, 1812 Willow Street, unit 8.
Yeah, I want to start that. That's a typo. It's unit B here.
Okay, excuse me, unit
just
B.
Just a fourplex. Yep. And that case is here. If we could invite the parties from that case to join the table. I will do a staff summary. So as we stated, this case is governed by a different law that I explained that has a binding component on both parties will be legally obligated moving forward unless they come to an agreement. The rent increase amount is $300, $305, which is about 13.9%. The utilities included in the rent are water, garbage, and recycling. This is the first increase. The tenant has only been living in the unit for a year and 10 months. So in this instance, we've received paperwork from both the tenant and the landlord that share the reasons for why the rent is being increased, or the concerns about the amount of the rent increase. So I'm just going to quickly summarize what both the tenant and the landlord shared. The landlord shared information about the reason for the rent increase is related to high mortgage payments, rising property taxes and insurance premiums. So the landlord sees the unit as below market rent, and that the rent wasn't raised after the first year. And also there's a concern from the landlord with their own personal living costs increasing, and looking into the future about potentially an increase in, or a decrease in income. And then on the tenant side, we received statements that in response to the landlord, because as I explained, the landlord's now initiating the process, that the note that there's high mortgage payments and in rising property taxes, the numbers that were given in the paperwork, they don't show any past costs, so it's hard to judge how much it's rising by. And there's concern that the rent is being increased for the cost of water as we're in a drought, but that it's other tenants in the building that are using high consumption of water, and that it's not necessarily reflective of each tenant. Also, there's a concern that the comparisons on Craigslist don't address amenities that are included in the different units, so it's hard to compare if the prices match similar units. And there was a statement by the tenant that the actual rent prices should apply to new potential tenants, not existing ones. And then I just wanted to end that the tenant also recognized that there are increased costs of living in Alameda, and that would apply to the landlord as well. However, there's a feeling that almost 14% is too dramatic of a rent increase.
Okay, thank you. We'll start with the tenant, as always.
Sure.
So that was a pretty thank you, pretty complete summary. And as I said, we've gotten this information ahead of time, so we've read up on that pretty well. Is there anything missing from that that you think, if you really boil it down to a nugget that you think?
5 minutes.
Yeah, no, 5 minutes.
No, I think
from your perspective.
I think we stated everything in the response to Ms. Takamura items. We pretty much responded everything, and we understand that the cost increase in Alameda has been raising, and yeah, we perfectly understand. We just think that it's a little too high, the almost 40% increase since we arrived there. But I would say since 1 year, because the first year was a year lease, so I don't know if people can increase the rent when you sign a year lease. But after that, we were in a month-to-month, which we're still in a month-to-month. And I think, yeah, we feel that 14% increase is a little bit too high. And that's about it, yeah.
Okay. So your biggest concern, if I'm hearing correctly, is that the cost that you were paying and the cost you're being asked to pay is the 14%, and that's difficult for you to absorb as a family. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Does anyone else have anything to add?
No? Okay.
Hi. My name is Nancy Takamura, and I've owned the fourplex at 18th Robella Street since about 2008. And I feel that I am a fair landlord. We have good communications. We have good relationships. I comply to law, and I attended this seminar here, which was very important with this new, the 3148. And in addition, I work in a mortgage environment of 24 years, so I have experience in operation management and appraisal review, credit risks, and underwriting. And I am asking for rent increase of $2,195 to $2,500. And this rent is the first increase since they moved in July 1st of 2014. So as of July 1st of 2016, it will be 24 months, not 1 year. And I still think it's still under the market for a three-bedroom in Alameda. And I know I only presented the Craigslist because that's where I kind of advertised, but I do have listing here from the OMM mortgage listing that has two bedrooms that are comparable, two bedrooms on Santa Clara at 2,500 and 2,600, and then also from Gallagher for three bedroom for 2,800. So I know that Fernando's mentioning that he feels that I'm trying to match up to the rental, but 2,500 is still under the market from where I perceive it. And I realized when he asked for some of the increase, I didn't specify exactly the percentage, but I do have it. So property increase tax of 6.5 from 2014 to 2015. And it goes up every year in July, so I don't even have the statement yet of the July, but the 2014, my assessed value was 800,000, which is a temporary reduction from the fact proposition 13 base of 836,089, and the bill was 12,094. And then on July 18, 2015, the value is 852,790, and the tax bill has risen to over 12,900. As far as the water bill, the reason for the increase is really because of East Bay Mud. On July 1st, they have new rates in effect to pay for replacement of aging pipeline and long-term infrastructure improvements. If unincreasing draw costs, a temporary 25% surcharge is in effect, and that's on top of the 13%. So I have an increase of 13.5% increase on the base unit from $3.68 in July of 2014 to $4.17 July of 2015. They're gonna raise it another 7% in this year. So realistically, I know, you know, you are concerned about the water, but it's the base amount that's going up. It's the 25% drought surcharge is on top of the base. And then ACI garbage has increased to 7.7%, so an increase of $16.35 base rate. So those are kind of the numbers that I wanted to present to you. Keeping up with the comp change, I have the listing here. I know when we spoke, I said you could look at Craigslist and take a look. And the cost of living increase is really 2 years. I haven't raised it, and it's below market. And I am a single, you know, person myself. I'm working. I plan to retire in about 3 years. I'm at that age, and right now I take care of my mother, who was just widowed, and then my daughter is going to college. She's been going to junior college, and she lives with me at my primary residence. She's been going to college, junior college, and then this fall she'll be going to a university, which is going to be costly. So it's just more expenses for me personally and also for operations. And, you know, we have a great relationship, but for me, I have to sustain business as well.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, it sounds like you're concerned about increasing costs, but you're really concerned about being able to support your family, namely being your widowed mother and your daughter.
That's on top of my, so I have two things going on. I have a, you know, rental property that I need to try to upkeep with, but that's, and you know what I'm getting in terms of rent right now for a three bedroom in Alameda, $21.95 is really below the market, you know, and I know that $2,500 is still below the market, but you know, that is what I'm asking. And on top of it, I have my own personal expenses that will be decreasing as I retire, and you know, and sole income.
Okay. Thank you both. Appreciate it. Does anyone here have a bunch of clarifying questions or maybe comments?
As usual, I have a couple of questions.
Sure, go ahead.
This is for Fernando. There's a form here which has lease options, which I don't understand. You say one lease option is $2,300 a month, one lease option is $2,350, one lease option is $2,400. I'm not sure what that. This is on form RP-09. Could you explain what that refers to?
Yeah, I think the way that I understood the form is that as a tenant, I have the opportunity to suggest amounts of rent per month in order to negotiate with the owner. That's where I understood the form.
I see.
And I present 300, 350, and 400.
So Jennifer, since this is a your form, I guess.
That's the way I understood.
It sounds like this is what Fernanda is proposing mm-hmm. to pay, as opposed to having received mm-hmm. a lease option. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's good feedback for us since it's a new process. We've been seeing some rent increases that offer different amounts of a rent increase based on if it's a 6-month lease, month to month, or a year lease. Mm-hmm. And so that was an opportunity if you had received different offers from the landlord. But I also think that actually, moving forward, that could serve well as I think that maybe that would be something to incorporate in the form anyways, that that's helpful to know already for you where you think that is would be reasonable. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the intention,
yeah,
but I think that we can find use in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only offer that I received was from the initial fee, rent increase fee.
Mm-hmm.
That was the initial.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing up the question to clarify
actually,
this.
That does sort of show your level of comfort, you know, of,
yeah.
of where you're willing to go.
Yes.
So I think you're right, Jennifer, that is helpful information. But I was a little confused because I don't think that's where the form was written. I have a question for you also on the rent started off at $21.95 in July of 2014, correct?
Exactly.
And it didn't increase in 2015.
No, it ended in June of 2015, and that was about right when my dad passed away, and I wasn't thinking of it, really looking at any kind of rental thing. But, you know, as I looked at going into the second year, it was a necessity, so.
I see. Yeah, that was actually my question was what were the mitigating factors which caused you not to increase rent on a regular basis, because this is a pretty substantial rent increase all of a sudden. And while I understand that your costs have increased on a regular basis for your property, it's still quite a lot, I think, for Fernanda to bear all of a sudden. And I was wondering why there was no increase. I see that the overall increase rate has been about 7.5% if you go back over from the start to.
Well, I've only presented the numbers from 2014 to 2015 as a comparison, because July of 2016 values are not present yet. Mm-hmm. And we're in May, and I wanted to give Fernando plenty of notice, so that was why I delivered to him in April, to try to see if this is something that we can work on. But it's not something I feel that's extremely, you know, substantial based on the market. I mean, you know, for a 3-bedroom fourplex, I mean, I put over $80,000 in 2012 in that unit alone. I have 4 units, and that's the only 3-bedroom, and everything in there is brand new as of 2012. The floors, the kitchen, bathroom, there's nothing, you know, that wasn't done. It was renovated, and it was all for $80,000. That's the only unit that was put into it at the time, because I didn't have additional sources to put into other units. So, you know.
Now this is a fourplex unit, right? But,
it is.
But what are the other 3 units like?
It's 2 1 bedrooms and 1 2 bedroom.
Okay,
they're a lot smaller unit. I have no comparables. This is the largest one and the only one that's newly done.
So it sounds like you put a lot of effort, both monetarily and probably sweat into making that unit nice. Okay. If I could ask, what are the other tenants being asked to? Are they being asked for a similar rent increase, or is it less because of their smaller units?
It's a lot smaller unit. There's no comparable to the 3-bedroom.
Okay. So, but are they also being asked for a rent increase?
They are.
They are, okay.
Can I ask, is it equivalent rent increase?
Well, theirs is increased every year.
Okay, but 13.9%?
Not every year.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask you, what is approximately the percentage increase that you usually
Is that applicable in terms of the other units, if they're non-comparables and, that kind of scenario?
Well, I think she asked...
This is the first meeting?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I've never done this before, so... Well,
I guess I would assume that you're asking that. You stop me if I'm wrong, please do. That because the concern that... the tenant raises that they were being asked to share a disproportionate amount of increase for the units as a whole. That was
I think the thing that Tornado was concerned about was the water. And I know that it had to do with kind of the washing machine scenario, but water is used by everyone. And we have, his apartment has 6 occupants, the total of all the other 3 units has 5 total occupants. So I don't see, and I'm not charging for, it's all included in the rent, water and garbage and so forth. So I put what I pay, but I wasn't trying to put a portion into it and divide it up amongst people. It's just all part of the fair, rent.
Okay.
One of the issues that I have is that you said you attached a list of equivalent rentals. In Jennifer, we didn't get that list in this packet. Was there a list submitted?
Mm-hmm. I did.
I think that's it right there.
No, that's not there.
No, the Craigslist. You didn't receive the Craigslist submitted.
That's a history of cases.
So it is.
And that's... Yeah. That's what
that was charging
you. What's this?
I mean, I have it. This is because I know Fernando requested more information than just the Craigslist, which I normally go through.
Yeah.
On Craigslist, there was really nothing for the 3 bedrooms. 2 bedrooms were ranging from $2,300 to $2,600. But I did, here I presented what's actually, a 2 bedroom that's comparable through OMM management, and then also Gallagher, and then also Summer Home is from $2,947 to $3,187. So I have that if you need that. But I brought it really to
for
share
him,
it with Fernando.
Yeah.
Because I know he had requested that.
Yeah, thanks. And I appreciate you your patience with the questions. We're just trying to get more information.
Okay.
That's all. If I could, unless.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to say, you've heard what. Do you mind if I call you Nancy?
Fine. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You've heard some of the concerns Nancy has. And I was wondering, you had listed 3 prices on there, not for what it was, for a different, but I mean, it works for this scenario. How do you feel about those relative to, the current increase versus what you listed based on what she's told us so far? In terms of what you would be willing to pay. What type of increase? Sorry, let me summarize. That was a little all over the place. Based on what she's presented, you originally said you were looking for an increase of 105, 155, or 205
mm-hmm.
on your preferences, and she's asking for 305.
Mm-hmm.
After hearing what she said, how do you feel about 305 versus what you've listed?
Well, I feel it's excessive. Because for the reasons that I stated here, which I can go on and stated them, we have had great relationship with Nancy, and I don't want to damage this relationship in any way. We want to stay in Alameda because we have small children and we like the city, and I feel very comfortable with the numbers that I presented over there, in this form.
Okay, so you're still comfortable with the numbers you listed?
Yeah, because I think it's excessive to charge in 1 year 15%. No, it's not. Well, I don't know. I might have to see the law, but I think when you sign an agreement for 1 year, you cannot. I don't know. Maybe not. The landlord cannot raise the rent when you have a signed agreement. So that year shouldn't count. That's the way I see it, and I might be wrong. So after that lease ends, then you go into month to month. Then okay, can be raised. I might be wrong again. I guess.
If I could just make a.
The way I saw that is, you know, the lease expired on June 30, 2015. At that point, that was the end of the 1 year.
Yeah.
So that's
the reason why it's only 1 year, not 2 years. It's only 1 year, and in 1 year, you are increasing the rent for almost 50%. That's it.
No, I'm saying 24 months is what I'm calculating that. You've been paying $21.95 from July 1st, 2014
yes.
to the future of July 1st of 2016. So yes. In my eyes, and in my I look at it as 2 years. I didn't raise the rent in June of 2015 because of a lot of things I was going through with my dad, and rent increase was just kind of not out there, you know. But in terms of the term, I feel that it's actually 24 months, not 12 months. And I don't know if you can clarify how you look at, because I'm putting from July 1st of 2014 to June 30th of 2016, I'm counting 24 months. Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it's a question, and it's just to clarify maybe that it's a common way for an owner or a landlord to look at something. It's natural for them to look over a longer period of time, and maybe a tenant is paying a certain amount, and that's what it says, and then they get a letter and they say, oh my gosh, it's 14%. So maybe that's where the kind of the rub is. It's not so much the date, but just rather kind of the perception
that
it has.
Well, I just want to clarify, though, because I think Fernando really thinks that it's been only 1 year. And I want to clarify that in my eyes that it's really 2 years. Because in June of 30 of 2015, you're right, the lease ended. Mm-hmm. And it went to month to month. Mm-hmm. On June 30, 2015, at that point, when it ended, I could have raised the rent, but a lot of things going on with my own thing that I didn't. So, mm-hmm. you know, I understand your concern, but clarification for me is that it is a 24-month term. Okay.
But I guess maybe to bring us back to, you know, what we're here for.
Right.
So it sounds like we have some flexibility on the side of the tenant. I think if I heard you understand, correctly, you understand that costs are going up. You've heard her concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, she has family to take care of. She has, you know, her own issues that she's dealing with. So you have proposed a higher amount. Is there room for negotiation on your end? Is there room to come down from that close to 14%? Is that
I can go down to 12%, which brings us to 2460.
It's up to you to consider. We're just here to facilitate. That's towards you. Yeah.
That's right. Well, I think 2,400 is pretty. Is I mean, no. It's way too. It's heavy. The amount of money asking is heavy. And I know that three-bedroom apartment can be $3,000 or something. But I'm already paying for a storage, two storage items that I can place them in the apartment, and it's about a month. It's about $107 per month. So $2,400 plus the $100 is already making $2,500. That she's asking initially, and the way that I understand it is, again, in my eyes, and I don't want to sound repetitive on this, but when you sign a year lease, I don't think the rent should increase during that year. Obviously, it's not counted, so it's in the subsequent year. That it should be law. It should be seen by the law. Something, but I think 2460 is not.
So what would you view as, if 2460 is too much, what would you say is reasonable to you? Like what's a number
for a family of six? living the way we're living, I mean, I think it's pretty, and taking into account that this is the first rent increase in a year, I mean, effectively, I think 24, I mean, I got, to me, honestly, it would be 7%, 23.50. That's what it would be, because usually, I think, normally the rents go in 5% increases, I might be wrong. But I'm willing to go 7%, which would be 23.50. But in terms to negotiate, I can go 2,400, that's fine, that's okay. But beyond 2,400, it puts an increase on me, on us.
Okay.
So 2,400, wow. What percentage is that?
2,400 is $205 rent increase, which is a 9.3% rent increase.
9.3.
Is, so, I'll point here, which is, you know, the, what you said about not being able to increase the rent legally when you have a lease is correct.
It's correct? Yes, correct. I think so. Yeah. I didn't know.
Well, I don't know.
However,
I don't know. Should we opine on that? I don't know.
Well, if you have a lease,
did you?
Year.
Yeah, but he's in month to month, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe we should default to staff on those questions. I don't know. I would hate to misspeak.
Would you like a comment by staff on this?
Or I would like a comment by staff on that.
Okay. The law says that when there is a lease, that the lease, you have to pay, you can't increase the amount during the lease, which I think you are both in agreement with, that you had a lease until the end of June 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So your lease ended in the June
2015. Yes.
So because it was month to month, the landlord had the option to raise the rent.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the because of the rent was not increased until now, it will be a full year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a missed rent increase in a sense. Mm-hmm. So your rent from all of 2015, that year stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
Where so that was a year that it could have gone up. And in that sense, while this year, I think the 2 years is coming that your rent could have gone up legally after you were in month to month, and it didn't, right? And I think that you are in agreement and understanding that portion of it, and dividing the 2 years is, I think the 2 years includes this coming, you know, a rent increase now for this year forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, you know, that's, I don't know if that's going to bring us necessarily any closer to agreement.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I don't want to belabor the point. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. And
the point I was driving at was that then if that's the case, then you look at the rent increase over 22 months, right? You've been there.
24 months. July.
As of now, 22 months.
Oh.
Right? As of now, right?
But
because you're still paying the same rent today that you were when you moved in.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a rent, there's bound to be a rent increase somewhere.
Yeah.
If it went to $2,400, that would be a 5% annualized rent increase for 22 months. Is that correct? I think so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if I may say
Which is still pretty high. But I mean, I'm just... Just throwing the number out there is for you two to understand kind of the magnitude of the issue here.
Yeah, to me it's clear that this is high. I mean, I stated clearly in the responses, and I would like to come out of this meeting, Nancy, with an agreement, and let's move on, okay?
Right.
That's my take on this. Because to me, this is very high. Please, let me finish, please. I don't understand this, but the first year, when we have a year signed lease, the rent cannot be increased. So after that year, then in a month to month, that's when it could have been increased. So then we could say that this is the first rent increase in 1 year. That's the way I understand it. But what I'm hearing from you, Nancy, is that this is the first rent fee increase in 2 years. Which I don't think that should be, I don't think that's right. Because the first year you cannot do it because we have a signed lease for a certain amount of money. That's the way. That's the way I understand it.
Mm-hmm. May I make
if
a
wrong,
comment?
By any means, please.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand.
I think one thing that might be helpful is to think about the law now. Then the law now says that you can only raise the rent one time in 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's helpful to think about a year looking forward. So on 2015, June of 2015, moving forward, it's been 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no rent increase. And if your rent increase, when your rent increase goes into effect in June 30, if it becomes effective,
mm-hmm.
it will be effective for 1 year. And in that sense, it's been, it's 24 months. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So that the amount that your rent increases for June of 2016 is that amount is going to last for 1 year, because
mm-hmm.
Legally now there's no increase that can happen for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the rent increase is calculated for that future year that hasn't happened yet,
okay.
That 12 months, and then the 12 months that passed when you didn't have a rent increase, where it hasn't been, you know, because of June 2015,
mm-hmm.
moving forward that full year. So I think, maybe, tell me if this is not helpful, but to think about it as the year forward, not the year behind you.
Kind of. Not really, to be honest.
That was tough.
That was hard.
That was tough. I think I went across that.
Nice explanation, though.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, that's where we are. We're talking about technical. I mean, yeah. I apologize.
But let's bring it back to the meat, though.
Sure.
The meat of the issue, which is that I heard 2,400. I heard 2,460. It sounds like we're getting closer.
And I'm willing to meet the middle of that.
In the middle of that. So we're looking at 2,430. So we're getting closer.
No, and the reason why is because it's more than 10% already, and the apartment doesn't have amenities that probably other apartments that are in the market would have.
Well, 10% is 2,414.
I don't know.
I think Mr. Cabrera said that 2,400 would be something. It's kind of stretching it. I think in his application, he said 2,300. You know, he'd prefer, but he could really, with his budget and with all the constraints in his family, he's willing to go to 2,400, but he's really pushing it. And it looks like he's really making a good faith effort here.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility that you could accept that?
I also heard Fernanda say 2,350, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, actually, that would be if, yeah, to be honest, I think 2,350 would be, in my eyes, would be the appropriate amount of rent increase, the first rent increase in 1 year. I think that's the way to see it. But I think it's important to mention it, because I don't think it's safe to say the first rent amount increase in 2 years than in 1 year. I think there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And already 2,350 is 7%.
Okay.
So that's the reason why I'm emphasizing that the first year shouldn't be counted, because it was a signed lease for 2,195. So that one cannot be increased, because it's already just signed lease. It's the next one when you go month to month.
Right, but this, we're going to be...
Sorry.
Yeah, we're talking about going forward.
Yeah, we're
going
to be...
Yeah.
No, that's okay, we totally get you, and I hear your frustration, so I appreciate you sharing that. But we're talking about the year that's going to come, so that's going to be the real kicker, right? So I know 2,350, you said, is a lot. 2,400 sounds like it could be your maximum. What do we think?
I mean, I value his relationship as well, and I'm okay at 2,400. I mean, that's kind of what he threw out at one point, and I know that, you know, at 2,400, we're even below 10%. It's 9% is 2,393. You know, so, I mean, I kind of went down from 14 to close to 10%, and that's because I value him and our relationship.
So earlier you said 2,400, and Nancy's gone down to 2,400. Is 24 still an acceptable number for you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So
to keep the good relationship.
Yes.
And just confirm, 2,400 is acceptable with you as well?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to state
just,
the terms.
Just for the record, though, that's a 9.344% increase, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So 2,400 is good. 2,400 is good. We're going to need a motion.
I moved with it. We accept their agreement of $2,400 a month.
And a second, please?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
staff will record the agreement as $2,400. Mm-hmm. That will become effective on the date stated in the rent increase notice, which is June 30, or July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And staff will meet, if both parties could meet with Jonathan in the very back, we will write those terms down for
mm-hmm.
you to follow up to finish up the evening.
Okay.
And thank you for coming,
thank
both
you.
Of you. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you very
much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For sure. I have a question.
Yeah,
this,
also.
This would be for, this would be for the year lease, is it a year lease? Or that's something that we need to work out the landlord has
made? Right. That would be something you'd want to work out. They do have to offer you a 1 year lease.
Oh, they do, okay.
Yeah, so if you request it, it has to be in a and you will be signing an acknowledgement.
We have public comment.
But it's not the agreement itself, so we do have questions.
Okay.
Just follow up. And it's nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Can you help her lease
this? We have to follow up with you.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can we,
he's going to make a poll.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah.
We need to
can I call for recess so we can have a bathroom break?
Yeah.
Okay, we're calling for a 6 minute recess for bathrooms.
Six minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we pause the recording here?
That's all.